Morning. The scripture comes from Galatians 5, 22-26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Oh, that's how you know I'm American. In Australia, I should have said, good morning, church. Sometimes I catch myself in that way. You know, a year and a half ago, something was introduced to the world, some would say unleashed on the world, that has changed the way that we engage in life. A little over a year and a half ago, ChatGPT was launched. And at that point, people began to think that this was a new way of creating content. The makers of ChatGPT also created one that was for art. Not just words, but also for art. And from that point on, and actually before that, but that was sort of the cultural zeitgeist moment where everybody was like, what's going on with AI? What's going on with all these things? And it became in the public consciousness. There's a vast number of articles about it. There's lots of different opinions about it. It just has really taken over many news cycles, unless you're worried about the royals, and then that takes over other news cycles. This week I encountered a story about what ChatGPT is doing to the publishing world. It started with a woman who decided to buy a slow cooker or a crock pot for her mother, and it came with a free book. And that free book had recipes on how to create healthy, good meals out of this crock pot. And she began to read the recipes and began to recognize that there were portions missing and that the language was stunted, and it seemed that maybe a five-year-old had written some of the recipes. And she thought to herself, well, I'm just going to search up the author of this and see who it is. And so she went to Amazon and she typed in the author's name, and there were several cookbooks and styling books written by this particular person. But the author profile was very limited. In fact, it seemed a bit stunted as well. She looked at the picture and it looked like, oh, a normal nanny. Someone who, you know, was between 65 and 70, ordinary, lovely. But she began to look at the picture and noticed that the background was a little off, and that maybe this earlobe was a little bit off-centered, and the collar of the shirt was awfully strange. And through her research, she began to realize that that book and that author and all the other books that she had written, and even all of the recommendations or the referrals, or what are they called? References when you make a comment about something online that you're giving quotations, all of those things. Perhaps I should have used ChatGPT for the introduction. We're all fake profiles as well. That the entire thing was false. That it didn't look anything. It looked like a real person. It kind of was like a real book. The recipes, if you followed them, not directly, but modifying them based on the way that you were actually reading them and going, well, obviously they don't mean that, they mean this, they would probably work. But the reality, it was completely false. The person didn't exist. That it was just somebody putting in the prompts in order to create something, to sell something, to make money. I think sometimes, as we are walking with Christ, those of us who have come to the saving knowledge of who Jesus is, we sometimes can look at our lives and think to ourselves, I must be doing it wrong. Because it doesn't feel like I'm actually doing this for real. That I seem to struggle and trot along in this work of following after the Father. That I seem to want to make sure that I have an external vision of myself to those around me that makes them believe I'm doing this all right. But in reality, my heart and my mind, I'm wondering, am I actually accomplishing this? Am I doing exactly what I'm supposed to do? Am I a real boy? Or am I just AI when it comes to my walk with Christ? Now, the beauty and the hope that I have for you as we've walked through this sermon series on Holy Spirit is you begin to see the layers upon layers upon layers of this great gift of God to us, Himself to us, in order to empower us to live our lives in Christ. And it's today that we come to this marvelous idea of the fruits of Holy Spirit. Now, we've talked about how the Holy Spirit is a deposit for us, a recognition that God is doing a work and will continue to do a work, and when He comes again, He will redeem us completely. And in doing that, it gives us hope to enter into the brokenness of the world. We've talked about how more than just being a deposit, that we are adopted and we become sons and daughters of God. And in that, we become heirs, co-heirs with Christ. And so we have more than assurance. We actually have an open relationship with a God that is steadfast in His love for us, which in knowing that, it empowers us to do the things that a family member does, a child does. They honor the Father. And then last week we talked about how Holy Spirit is a gift for us, taking who we are, how God created us to be, and transforming it in order to bring glory to God. But more than that, giving us Holy Spirit to manifest Himself in gifts for us that are for the common good and for the glory of God. And that we should actually eagerly seek after those gifts, not neglecting them, but say, Lord, empower me. Give me the gifts that You need me to have in order for You to receive glory and for good to take place in the lives of those that I encounter. And today we step into this idea of fruits. This idea that the Holy Spirit bears fruit in our lives to bring us to a place of love and joy and peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you have a device or a Bible, go ahead and open up to Galatians chapter 5. I want you to rest there because we'll see this conversation happening in this letter, which gives us some insight to this. But I first want to acknowledge that the fruit of the Spirit are important for all of us. They are a sign that something is changing in our lives and that God is moving. I've previously preached through this passage. And in it, when I was preaching on it, I was talking about how each one of the letters are written to a body and to a church. And though at that time I was really kind of wrestling and working through the idea that we actually don't have to possess all of these fruits, that it's written to the church. And so there's some that are more loving than others, and there's some that have more forbearance than others. And so I just got to find the fruit that the Spirit is growing in me, because I just might be a self-control tree, and there might be somebody else that is a patience tree. That was wrong. That wasn't an accurate understanding of this passage. It was a cop-out to be able to say, I don't think I could ever have all of these show in my life. And if that's the case, then I better preach in a way that allows us to know that. As I've continued to study the Holy Spirit, what I've begun to recognize is that because the Holy Spirit is all-encompassing, because the Holy Spirit desires the wholeness of who we are, because the Holy Spirit is God working directly in our particularness, that when we talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it is for all of us who possess the Holy Spirit to bear those fruits, each and every one of them. So I don't just get to be a follower of Christ that's loving. I need to be one who is filled with love and joy and peace and patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that can seem daunting, for sure. So much so that I preached a sermon incorrectly. Because when I look at those things, those fruit that are going to bear forth, I think to myself, how am I ever going to make that happen in my life? Now, did you catch where I was wrong in that? How am I ever going to make that happen in my life? This doesn't say, if you have the Spirit, then you will bear these fruits from your own self. It says the fruit of the Spirit, which is given to us, are these things. That it's actually not my job to make sure these things get born in me. It is the Holy Spirit working to manifest them, to make them happen. Charles Pinnock, in his book, The Flame of Love, which talks about the Holy Spirit, says this about the fruits. Each and every human, ever born, ever created, all humanity who has ever lived, are created by God in the image of God. We each and every one of us bear that image. And because of that, we should operate with one another in relationship with dignity, holding forth that even if we disagree, even if you're not a believer, or you are a believer, or you happen to be part of another religion, right now, because we all know, or we believe, that you're created by God to bear His image in the world, then we should be respectful and kind to one. Because we respect that God created you and made you. That's all of you. However, for those who follow after Christ, we are called to be formed into the likeness of Christ. We move from just being the image bearer to being those who possess the likeness of Jesus. That we are being, the Bible tells us through Paul, transformed over and over again into the likeness of Jesus. So that when He appears, we will know Him because we will be like Him. That's Colossians, where our life is in Christ, by the way. The fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of that likeness of Christ being formed in us. It's that place where we begin to walk in the likeness of Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who possesses all love. Jesus is the source and the one who came with all joy. Jesus is the one who came preaching peace to those who were far off and those who were near. Jesus is the one who in patience and forbearance walks into a sinful world and gives himself up. Jesus is the one who brings kindness. He is the one who is good above all good. He is faithful to his Father and the call that he has brought to him. We know that because Holy Spirit helped him do that. He is gentle, which sometimes drives people crazy. But shouldn't he be more vigilant and forceful? And he is one who ultimately has self-control. A self-control that is able to submit to the will of the Father. A self-control that says, I'm not self-propelled. I don't need self-aggrandizement. I don't need my way, but your will, Father. See, as we begin to walk in the likeness of Christ, as we begin to grow into who we are, the Holy Spirit bears those fruits within us. Excuse me. I'm going to give you an example from my life. I happen to be have the occasion to go to the shops this week. Most every week we have to go to the shops. And I went to the shops this week. And I gathered my trolley and I walked through and I got my groceries and I was going back and I got to the car and I unloaded my groceries into the boot of the car and I pulled the trolley back and I was going to put the trolley away because I'm a good person. You don't just leave it there. You go put it in one of the corrals. Or if you're extra special good, you go take it back to the store. So I had my trolley and I was like, I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be good. I'm going to be faithful because I'm faithful in doing these things. Like I rarely, and I say rarely, 99% of the time, I will take a cart back. But as I arrived at the corral, I noticed that while there were carts, trolleys at the corral, they were all disjointed. There's three lines that you can put them in, one for Aldi, two for Woolworths. There happened to be no Aldi ones there, but there were lots of Woolworths ones. They all happened to be the short deckers, not the long deep ones. So they could all kind of get together. But they weren't. They were spread apart all over the place. Some were turned this way, some were turned this way. And as I got there and got ready to push my cart in as a good and faithful, filled with joy that I get to do this, and I've just been shopping and I had the money to do it, and loving my fellow man to put it on, I thought to myself, these idiots. It takes all of 2 seconds to, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do what's right. So I took time and I pulled all of them out and I loaded them all back in very kindly. As people were walking by, there were some that clearly thought I was crazy. There were some that were like, good on that guy. I'm so grateful for people like that. At least that's what I thought. And as I put it in, I got it all done and a great sense of pride began to come up in me. And as I was walking back to the car, it was at that moment that I said, I've just lost all my fruit. My fruit was being bared for me. My desire was for me to be right, to have recognition. My heart had moved from being for people. It could have been a single parent who had kids that were in the car and they were doing their best and so they just kind of pushed it in and it got lockjawed as it was going down. And I just thought that person an idiot. It could have been a carer who had gone and helped somebody do their shop for the week and they had them in the car and they knew I should not leave them alone, and so they pushed it in quickly. It could have just been somebody who doesn't care. But somehow they got it to the trolley thing, the corral. Just left it. I mean, to be honest, that's better than the people that put it up on the, you know, curb, the walkway, and just leave it there. As we walk in the likeness of Christ, as joy and love and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control begin to be the things that are being produced in our hearts and in our spirits and in our minds, it takes our affections off of ourselves and our desires to be right and turns our affections towards God and those who are around us. We begin to recognize that my deep love for God and my deep love for my fellow man give me the impetus to live as Christ lived. That I look out and I see those who are without a shepherd. I see those who are without care. And I can't help but long to care for them, even though at times I will step out of the Spirit. He is quickly there to remind me, to correct me, and to call me towards repentance. Notice there in verse 25 it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Walking in the Spirit is being formed into the likeness of Christ, moving forth into His place. Well, where does that happen first? In verse 13 of that Galatians chapter 5, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Last week we talked about, when we were talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit and all those things, that Paul puts this chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, this love chapter, right in the middle as he's talking about those things. Again, we run back to that, saying it is our identity as those who are lovers of God and lovers of people. It's that we walk in a self-sacrificing love, that we move in a place that love reigns supreme. It's not any wonder that Paul would say the first fruit of the Spirit is love. Because if there is not love, joy and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control will not grow. Now it's interesting to talk about fruit as well, because it gives us a great place of application. Because if we're going to grow something, which I cannot grow anything, I'm very good at taking a grown product and turning it into a lovely meal, but I can't actually grow anything. But if we had the ability to grow something, what does somebody who is going to grow fruit need to do? And somebody who wants to see fruit grow. Well, the first thing is we have to have a soil that is prepared and ready to receive the seed. We can't just throw it out on the road. We can't just throw it among the thistles. We can't just lay it aside. We must be diligent to make sure that the soil is prepared and ready to receive. And so for those of us who are walking in Christ, we must be preparing our soil as the Father prepares our hearts to receive the Holy Spirit. We must be those who are seeking after ways in order to make us receptive to receive what God wants to give to us. In walking with the Spirit, that means, in line with the Spirit, that means we need to know about Jesus. We need to know about God and His work, and we find that in Scripture. And so we should be diligent about preparing our hearts to receive by knowing God's work, by letting it rest in our hearts and our minds, by being active participants in that. We should be those who are crying out to God and saying, prepare my heart, praying forth the promises of God, that if you seek me, you will find me. We say, God, prepare my heart. We pray for it. We go along with people who are better experts than us in preparing the soil. We find those who have walked along this path with Jesus longer and say, I want to walk with you in helping me know how to receive God's word and how to receive and know and walk in His Spirit. Because I want the likeness of Christ to be formed in me. I want to move beyond just being an image bearer to being one who has the likeness of Christ and brings forth. And so that's how we prepare the soil. And that's really the only work we can do. Because Holy Spirit is the one who will cultivate it and water it and grow it and harvest it and bring it forth so that it will be for God's glory and for His kingdom. If you get a chance, go to your Bibles in the Gospels and look up the parable of the good sower. It should actually be the parable of the soil, because it's really not about the sower. The sower is God, but it's about the soil. And I just ask you this week to read that parable and ask yourself this question: what soil am I? What are the things that make me that particular soil? And how can I stop being a soil where the fruit does not come up and stay, but a soil that is one that gives 30 and 60 and 100-fold of the fruit? Because I think in that place you will begin to recognize that call of your heart to say, I want this more and more. And as you desire it more and more, then these things will begin to show in your life. Too often we walk hoping that the likeness of Christ will be formed in us by trying to avoid the bad things that we think will keep it from happening. The more we focus on the bad things that will keep it from happening, the more we're thinking about the bad things that will keep it from happening. And in thinking about those things, they become the things that are in our hearts and in our minds. But if we were just to change our perspective and recognize that Holy Spirit is already working to bear fruit in us. And how do I grasp hold of that fruit? How do I walk in that fruit? How do I become today, this moment, one who bears forth love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? How can God form that in me? Then as I focus on those things, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And so we walk to bear fruit because we move into the likeness of Christ. You're holy and good and righteous and true. We thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. If there's anything that is from you today, anything that is coming to us from you, let it take root in our hearts and bear your fruit. But if there is anything that I've spoken today that's not from you, let it be forgotten, so that it will not take root in our hearts and lead us in a path that is incorrect. Only you can do that, Holy Spirit, and so we ask you to do that. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.